Is in your Bibles this morning to 2 Kings chapter 13, and I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Want to remind us again that if you've put your name down on the calendar for fasting and prayer, don't forget to do that. And let's continue to seek the face of the Lord. Prayer changes things. Y'all believe that? Prayer does change things. We're sure glad to see Virgil and Mergely back in service with us. And he's been through quite an ordeal, but he is better. And we are thankful that he's able to be in service this morning. And keep on praying. Don't forget, tonight, service starts at 6. And come early to pray, especially those that lead singing, special songs, musicians, certainly ought to come to pray early. Amen. Well, I'm probably not going to read very many scriptures this morning, just a couple. But I'll just announce ahead of time for tonight, and I say this, the Lord willing. You know, we are always subject to change. The Holy Ghost always has priority. But unless the Lord changes direction in our minds. Tonight, I want to talk to you sincerely about a subject that is hardly ever dealt with among Pentecostal people these days. I want to talk to you about the Bible or biblical structure of the home, the family. And I've been considering that for several days now. And I want to tell you, if God don't have America, the family is going in the wrong direction. Amen. The family, as we have known it, will soon be extinct unless we have a revival. Amen. So tonight, the Lord willing, we have that on our hearts, and who knows what liable to take place in the service tonight. Amen. How many of you believe in the family as God made it? Well, I see a couple of you wonder about that. Well, we'll find out tonight. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 13. Brother Bruce Johnson preached from this chapter earlier this week, but we won't carry it one step further, and we're going to deal this morning with verses 20 and 21. And I want to talk to you. I preached from these verses years ago on the power of the past, and this week I was reading these verses, and I just thought about a new title, Moving Out of the Cemetery. Praise God. So, in verse 20, 2 Kings 13, and Elisha died, and they buried him. The bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year, and it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down, strange things happened. And touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Very similar to John chapter 11 concerning Lazarus that was raised from the dead. But I want us to look at these two verses this morning for a little while. You may be seated. start with this morning, I want us to understand this text fully. We need to understand one thing, that the Israelites did not adopt the burial method of the Egyptians and putting their dead into coffins. The Egyptians did that. The Israelites, to this day, most of them don't do that. But these Israelites, they wrapped their dead in linen clothes and laid them in a tomb, which was cut out of the side of a mountain. Now, when these men saw the band, they simply thought it was the Moabites coming, and they thrust the body of this dead man they were burying into the tomb of Elisha, and then they took off running because they were afraid of the band that they thought was Moabites that was coming. And the strange thing happened when the body of this dead man touched the bones of the prophet Elisha. It came to life again and stood up. Amen. And can you imagine what these other two men thought when they turned around and looked and they heard a voice coming behind them? Hey, wait up for me! Turn around to find out it's a dead man they just throwed in the tomb. What would you have done? There are several things I want us to look at this morning. This miracle of Elisha's bones was the final miracle of his life story. He did twice as many miracles with this miracle as Elijah did. And many of them were twice as powerful or twice as great. And let me stop here just to say one thing. If the power of God in a dead man's bones could raise the dead, shouldn't his power in a living man do the same? Hello. Amen. May seem impossible to some folks, but the Lord Jesus commanded his disciple to even do greater things than he did. How come? Because the Holy Ghost, amen, was come and not only be with them, but be in them. He had promised power to the believers that would enable them to do the works that he did, and greater works than that. But let's look at this story for just a minute. Amen. Of Elisha that had died and was buried. This dead man's body touched the bones of Elisha and came to life. This miracle, like other miracles in the providences of God, is a lesson written for us in the Bible about these characters, and is for our admonition and our examples. Amen. I read this story just in two verses, and I see action. Amen. Oh, God, give us action in the church. We don't need a dead church. We need a live church. Amen. I think this lesson teaches us that we're something that we're all apt to forget, and that is that the power and the quickening, the invigorating power of our history as Pentecostal people ought to do the same work in our day as it did in our forefathers' day. Come on here. Amen. I'm an older man. I'm not old, but I'm older. And I remember a lot of revivals in our younger years of great times, great tent revivals, great auditorium revivals, revivals that swept, amen, our whole cities in times past. That ought not to be just a memory. It ought to be something that we can say, God did it for them. He'll do it for us. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm feeling better right now. I'm reminded when Charles Finney, that great preacher, amen, came to America and preached, amen, this one man, and Brother Bruce mentioned it to me this past week. Amen. When Finney came to town, amen, he had such a revival meeting that it put the liquor people out of business. Liquor stores had to close. They didn't have any customers. Everybody got saved. Boy, don't we need that kind of meeting again. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Ah, amen. If God did it for our past generation, memory is a wonderful thing. Thank God, amen, for memory. Amen. I don't want to ever forget what God has done in the past. But neither do I want to come to the conclusion of a lot of people in our generation that is only for the past, amen, generations. God is God right now. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. You believe that, say amen. Sometimes I think memory can be a haunting ghost of the past, or it can be a most powerful tool in God's arsenal, amen, to awaken us to our present need, that we need a revival. We need a supernatural revival. We need a powerful revival. Amen. The individual needs a revival. I want the Lord to help me this morning. Amen. The church needs a revival. And our nation needs a revival. Somebody say amen. Let's look for just a minute. Amen. See how this case is on the national scale, first of all. Amen. Our nation has a great past. Amen. And an integral element in the life of our nation. Amen. Our past as a nation was so powerful and so precious. Amen. That wise patriots and rulers, amen, do all they can to preserve our past. Our generation in American culture now would like to forget, amen, that we were based on the principles of the Bible. Somebody say amen. But amen, when we look at our past elements in American culture, amen, we are made to realize that this nation was founded on godly principles. Not all the men, help me here, not all the men that helped form this nation were saved men, but they were God-fearing men. They knew what God's word said. Amen. And I think if we would remember that, it would kindle a fire. Amen. In our present day, to give us a revival. Amen. Even when our culture is depressed and misfortune has taken us, and amen, we have degenerated because of the luxury of our time. I want to tell you, amen, the poorest people in our American culture right now are rich people in comparison to the third world countries. And we have been rocked to sleep. Boy, it's going to get quiet in here this morning. We have been rocked to sleep in the cradle of luxury. We got everything we need. We got every home. Even poor folks have at least one automobile. Some of us have two or three. Come on here. Amen. You can't drive but one at a time, but nevertheless, help me here. You know, we've got everything we need. We've got a house to live in. We got food on the table. We got Walmart. Help, Lord. Amen. If you like Walmart, God bless you. It takes you 10 minutes to get what you want and 35 minutes to get checked out. Amen. Help me, Lord. We got everything we need. We got money in our pockets. If you want to go to Golden Arches after service, you got money to stop by and buy you. Am I doing all right here? To buy you a hamburger or French fries. Amen. When the third world countries, many of them are starving to death today, and we can still go to McDonald's. We don't have to pray for our food because we got money in our pocket to buy it. Come on here. Amen. We don't need God in American culture. We got everything we need. We go to the doctor. I don't know what this Obamacare is going to wind up doing to us, but amen. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again this morning. It's probably going to force church people to start praying again for divine healing. Amen. Amen. But be it that as it may, our insurance. What do we need God to heal our bodies for? We got insurance. We can go to hospital and the doctors. And I'm not against hospital or doctors, but I'm just telling you, we are living in the lap of luxury so much until we don't need God for anything. Amen. If we go to church, okay, and if it don't matter. If we have revival, okay. If we don't, amen. What difference does it make? We're still going on. Amen. We come on here. Amen. There was a time that we didn't have enough money. Come on. Are y'all still listening to me? We didn't have enough money to go to Florida. Amen. Amen. So we had to go to church. That was the only place we had to go. Amen. We didn't have any money to go anywhere else. But I want to tell you, we are so blessed and we are so filled up with everything of this life. Amen. That we've forgotten our need for God. Amen. When we lose our desire for God, when we lose our desire for revival, amen, that anything that comes along, amen, takes us out of the house of God and away from the altar. Amen, we are so blessed we feel like we don't need the Lord. Amen, God help us and breathe new life into us. We must have a revival. Amen, amen, amen. Breathe new life into us. Amen. Our nation, amen. We need new vigor. We need new desire for God. We need new respect for God. Amen. And when I consider the fact, amen, that what our ancestors went through to bring us to where we are, amen, what our forefathers went through, amen, in similar situations, they turned to God. Amen. Oh, God, wake up the church. I said, oh, God, wake up the church. Amen. What was the character of our forefathers as a nation? Amen. The sacrifices that they made, their actions, what made them great? Amen. What made our nation great? We have forgotten. Amen. American culture was built on principles of God's word. Amen. I've told you this before, and I'm going to tell you again. Some of y'all might remember Alexis de Tocqueville. Amen. In history, he was a Frenchman. And it was in the last century. And he came to America trying to find out and determine what made America great. And he went to the political arena. He said, it's not there. He went to the farmland. He said, it's not there. He went to the industry. Amen. And he's looking to see what made America great. Amen. And he looked into the industry world of American culture, and he said, I did not find it. I didn't find what made America great until I went to the churches. And the pulpit was aflame and with a fire of God's Holy Spirit. Amen. And people sought the face of God, and he said, America is good, is great because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, amen, she'll cease to be great. Amen. And that's just about where we are in our American culture. Amen. They don't want God in our culture. They don't want the Bible in our culture. They don't want prayer in our culture. Amen. And as a result, amen, we will not have a revival until the church prays through. Amen. Amen. I wonder sometimes this generation should ask why, with all the same bloodlines of our forefathers, that this generation is incapable of the virtues or do not possess the same character and virtues of those early men. Amen. We need to take a reflection on what made America great. If you're looking for, be careful here, if you're looking for the Democrats or the Republicans to make America great, you are going to be greatly disappointed. Hello here. Amen. I don't know what you think about the Tea Party, and really don't matter, but they're the only ones that's got any sense up there in Washington. Amen. And God help us to return to the principles our country was founded on. Amen. Our country was founded on the value of human life. Amen. We're living in a generation that life doesn't mean anything to anybody. They just soon shoot you. Amen. Come on here. Amen. For a nickel. The value of life in American culture is worthless. Somebody say amen. We have aborted over 55 million babies. Amen. Human life is, amen, means nothing. Come on here. Somebody say amen. Every day in the news, especially, amen, our local news now, carried an article down, where was it, in Alexandria, where a woman answered a door knock at her house, and she opened the door, and somebody stood there with a gun and shot her and killed her. Amen. With no reason whatsoever. Don't know why. Don't know who it was. And it's happened again and again and again. And it's becoming more. Are y'all still with me? More vile as the days go by. How come? Because we as a nation have forgotten God. Well, that's good preaching, Brother Savage. Amen. Amen. It's terrible. It's terrible that we have aborted, amen, 55 million babies. They're not fetuses. They're babies. You get that? They're not just fetuses. They are babies. 55 million. And you wonder why we've got such strange weather going on? Amen. Tornadoes, hurricanes, amen. Freezing temperatures in areas of our country that's never had snow and ice. Amen. Come on here. Storms that has ravaged this country now. Amen. That people are dying because of the weather conditions. Can you understand that God's not pleased with the direction our country is going? Somebody say amen. Amen. I want to tell you, this may come as a shock to some of you. Amen. But I was told by somebody who is in the know that the government now is paying, amen, some hospitals to, amen, so many $1,000s to abort the old people that come into the hospitals, amen, because it's a drain on our economy. That's euthanasia. Amen. I want to tell you, come on, y'all stay with me here this morning. Amen. God, have mercy on America. Amen. When we value human life so frivolously that it means nothing to us to abort babies and old people. Amen. And on the news in the last 30 days, maybe 3 weeks ago now, in the country of Belgium, amen, they have passed in their legislature. Am I doing all right here this morning? They passed in their legislature that, amen, children can be euthanized, amen, either at the children's wishes, amen, or the parents' wishes, or the government's wishes. Amen. Legally euthanize children. Amen. Anybody under 12 years of age, amen, can be euthanized because, amen, the parents want them gone, the children themselves don't want to live, or the government. I want to tell you, we're living in a critical time, amen, in this world, and if we don't have a revival in America, amen, we'll go down the road, amen, that come on here, amen, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Amen. We're heading down the same road as a nation, and God have mercy on us. Now, whoo, help me here. Let me give you another thought here. Amen. The traditional monogamous family is in danger. Ronald Reagan said, how many of y'all remember Ronald Reagan? Amen. One of the better presidents of my time. Amen. He said, quote, "The family has always been the cornerstone of American society." Amen. Unquote. A family begins when a man, easy now, when a man legally marries a woman. In any other description of family, common law, shacking up, living together, am I doing all right now? Homosexuals, amen, and lesbians marrying each other, amen, help me here, amen. Any other description of family, amen, is unacceptable to God. Amen. Who ordained marriage between a man and a woman. It was not Adam and Steve. Amen. Come on here. Amen. It was not Eve and Susie. It was Adam and Eve. That's God's prescription for a family. Amen. Amen. I'm going to preach long this morning, so y'all just settle in. Don't get in a hurry. Praise God. Common decency, amen, has a forgotten description, amen, in words in our society. Common decency, amen. Nobody even hardly knows what decency is anymore. Amen. And I want to tell you, God, amen, is opposed to the $5 billion industry of pornography. It is destroying not only American culture, it's destroying our home, it's destroying the church world. Hello here. Amen. Work ethic. How many of y'all know what work ethic is? How many of y'all remember brother from Kentucky? He's deceased now. Gene Huff. He is a senator from Kentucky. Great man. Great man. He came and to us here years ago and preached a revival. And while he was here, he preached for several services, and he also spoke at our God and Country rally that we had in Amosville years ago, and he talked about the work ethic. Amen. We have a generation on our hands that want you to give them something but not work for it. Amen. A man shall live by working. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm in trouble here this morning. Amen. Let's take a time this morning. Amen. Anybody here in a hurry to get home and go to McDonald's? Amen. You can leave anytime you want to. Amen. But I got something to say to you this morning. Amen. We need to look at some of the men of our past society of America. Amen. Y'all, anybody here remember the Declaration of Independence? Amen. Did y'all know we have a Declaration of Independence? Amen. Amen. We have a Constitution. Amen. Help me here. Not many people nowadays even know what the Constitution says. But in the Declaration of Independence, I want you to get this morning. Amen. Amen. It said, quote, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, that's God, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Amen. There was 56 courageous men that signed their names and understood when they signed their names to that Declaration of Independence. Amen. This is not just political rhetoric. Amen. Amen. Years of hard struggling. Amen. To succeed. And if they failed, it was a hangman's noose waiting on them. Their life was at stake. Am I doing all right here? Amen. Five of those 56 men were captured by British and tortured, amen, before their death. 12 of them had their homes from Rhode Island to Charleston, South Carolina, sacked, looted, occupied by the enemy, and burned. Two lost their sons. One man, one of those signers, had two sons that was captured. Amen. 9 of the 56 men died in the war. Now, these were not poor, destitute, wild-eyed pirates that signed these, amen, papers, Declaration of Independence. They were men of means. They were rich men. They were wealthy men. They were educated men. They were landowners. Amen. But they considered their liberty much more important, amen, than anything they possessed. Somebody say amen. How many of y'all remember reading about Patrick Henry? I know you don't remember Patrick Henry, but you remember reading about him? It was Patrick Henry that coined the words, "Give me liberty or give me death." Anybody here remember those words? You know what inspired Patrick Henry, amen, to go down to Richmond, amen, and give that speech that he made? He was on his way down, amen, to make a speech when he came through the town of Culpeper, Virginia, our close neighbor here, which most of you go to almost on a daily basis if you go to Walmart. Amen. And, amen, he was traveling on horseback through the town of Culpeper. Amen. And, amen, they had a town square at that time in Culpeper. And he was riding through and he stopped because there was a crowd of people in the town square. Amen. He got off his horse and he listened. Amen. And they beat 5 preachers on the square in Culpeper, Virginia, because they were preaching. Amen. Are y'all still with me? The gospel of Jesus Christ that would liberate you from the power, amen, of sin, amen, and the authoritarian regime, amen. God help me here. Amen. And Patrick Henry, when he listened and saw what they were doing to those 5 preachers in Culpeper, he went on to Richmond and he penned his speech. And in that speech, he said, "Give me liberty or give me death." Amen. Someone said, "To be born free is a privilege. To die free is an awesome responsibility." God have mercy on America.
Amen. We are going down the same road that the other great nations of the past history has gone down that did not want God or anything religious in their lives. Somebody say amen now.
Amen. I've got books in my library. Amen. About Spurgeon. Amen. The great preacher of the bygone years, and Charles G. Finney. Amen. And John Wesley. And I could name a lot of others. Tyndale. Amen. And did y'all know that most of those men came from England? Amen. England at one time was the center of Christianity. Amen. British Empire sent out more missionaries to every country of the world than any other nation in the world, including America. Amen. Missionaries from the British Empire went around the globe preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Great men, Spurgeon and Tyndale and Finney and John Wesley. Amen. I can name a host of others that came from England. Amen. Help me here. But now England is a total secular, amen, government and nation with little or no Christian influence. Amen. You can't find anybody, come on here, anybody in England hardly that even knows where the Metropolitan Tabernacle is. Amen. It was the center, amen, of London at one time. More people got saved in the Metropolitan Tabernacle than any other. I mean, thousands of people. Now, nobody even knows where it is. America is heading down the same road. Huh? Listen to what John Quincy Adams said. And he's talking to us. He's talking to his posterity. He's addressing us. Quote, posterity, you will never know how much it has cost my generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make good use of it. Amen. In 1851, Daniel Webster, that mighty brilliant mind and man, said, quote, let the religious element in man's nature be neglected. Let him be influenced by no higher motives than low self-interest and subjected to no stronger restraint than the limits of civil authority. And he becomes the creature of selfish passion or blind fanaticism. On the other hand, he said, the cultivation of religious teachings represses licentiousness, inspires respect for law and order, and gives strength to the whole social fabric, and at the same time it conducts the human soul upward to the author of its being. Amen. If we don't have a revival and realize that our past, amen, has got to be revived among us, come on here, as a nation, we will go the same road of the British Empire. We'll go the same road of the Roman Empire. We'll go the same road of all other nations that forgot God. Thomas Jefferson said, indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever. The corpse of national life, the weak pulse of national thought, are thus brought into contact with the past. If we can only touch the bones of Elisha. Amen. We can have a revival. I said, as a nation, we can have a revival. But it's going to take the people of God having a desire for revival. When other things in our prosperity, in our luxury,
amen, living in our possession of things of life is more important to us than in revival. We are heading down the same road as the British Empire. But we can have a revival. It's got to be born in the bosom of the church. Somebody say amen. Now, I've talked to you about our nation. Let's look at the corpse. Amen. As the churches. To a church, the past is even more, amen, important than it is as a nation. Amen. Churches, like nations, have their days of glory and their days of depression and their days of shame and coldness and deadness. Amen. It's only to the church that God made a promise. He didn't make this promise to any other entity, amen, in existence. But he made this promise to the church. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Somebody say amen. I tell you, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost here right now. Amen. I am convinced that the church must realize that the revivals of bygone days are not just, amen, it's something that we should, amen, reflect on and say, well, God was great in those years. But I want to tell you, he's alive right now today. Amen. Amen. If a church is struck with weakness, amen, of death, and it must be quickened, amen, the old way, amen, and that's through prayer at the altar. Somebody say praise the Lord. I'm going to talk to y'all, messing over for a few minutes here. Y'all let me talk to you. Amen. When we come to this church, thank God for a wonderful building. Thank God for central heat. Thank God for central air conditioning. Thank God for electricity. Is anybody here? Thank God for cushioned pews and carpeted floors. Amen. Somebody said, I want to go back to the old days of Brush Harbor and sawdust. Go ahead. Amen. I like air conditioning and central heat. I like cushions on the pews. Praise God. I enjoy all that. But let me tell you that we are so caught up in the lap of luxury that we come to the house of God. If the temperature is a little warm in church, okay. Amen. To where we have to fan, amen, just a little bit. Amen. Because, praise God, Brother Greg forgot to turn the thermostat back to cool. Amen. And we're sitting there fanning. I tell you, amen, I ain't going back to church anymore. Amen. Because it's too hot in there. Amen. Then we go to church and the air conditioner's running. Amen. Help me here. Boy, I'm doing good this morning. Amen. The air conditioner's going and it's nice and cool. It's 72 degrees. Amen. And we sit there. Woo, it's cold in here. I can't stand it. Bless your heart, I ain't coming back to church, preacher. It's too cold in there. There was a day you'd go to the house of God and bring a quilt with you and be glad you was there.
Well, that's good preaching. If it ain't just right, we ain't coming. Boy, I tell you what. Amen. We are eat up with the lap of luxury till we can't stand it. When there's just a little bit of something that we don't normally like it that way. Well, that's good preaching, Brother Savage. Amen. The Lord helped me and the men of this church. We built this building. I'm glad it's here. I don't know about y'all. I built a church building in Texas years ago. Amen. And then was hard times for us financially. Amen. And difficult. I mean difficult, difficult. Amen. Didn't hardly have enough food to go from one meal to the other. And God spoke to a sinner man one time. And amen. He worked at a store and he said, God spoke to him and said, take the preacher some groceries. Amen. He loaded his back seat in his car up and brought us the groceries. Knocked on the front door and said, "Preacher, can you use some groceries?" And I said, "We sure could." Amen. I just thought he had a sack or two. Amen. We went out there to his car and the whole back seat was full of groceries. Hallelujah. Don't tell me God can't provide. Amen. But in those years, it was difficult. And we was trying to build a church building and money was scarce. And amen. We didn't have any central heat. We didn't have hardly any heat at all. Amen. In the wintertime, didn't have any brick on the outside, didn't have any drywall on the inside, didn't have any insulation between the two befores. Amen. Walls. Amen. It was cold in January and February. Amen. We had little old gas heaters sitting around, two or three of them around in the building, and people would come. Amen. I'm preaching to y'all this morning. People would come to church and have a revival. Amen. And bring quilts with them and wrap up in their coats. Amen. Because they wanted to go to church. Where is that mentality? Amen. The church is lost. Amen. The burden for revival and the burden for an outpouring of the Spirit, we are more interested in ourselves. Well, that's dangerous preaching this morning. We need a renewed contact by the Holy Ghost power that gives us a desire to pray and read the Bible. I don't know about y'all, but I want to move out of the cemetery. I have no interest in pastoring a dead church. If you want to go to a dead church, there's plenty of them around. But I want something that's alive. Amen. I want something that when the Holy Ghost moves, somebody will move. And somebody will shout. And somebody will run. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Brother Claude did a revival one night. He ran around part of this building. Amen. And after service, he said, "I hope I wasn't out of order." I said, "Out of order? Amen. I was waiting for somebody to run." Amen. Help me here. Amen. There, the brother Nathan McDonald's brother over at Bible Holiness. Amen. I forgot his name. Brent. Yeah. Amen. He started coming to Bible Holiness while we was there. And every service, he'd run around the building. I mean, it could be dead as 4 o'clock. And he'd just take out running. I'll tell you what. Been a few services I wished he was over at Massanova. Praise God. Somebody asked him, said, "Did you feel like running?" He said, "No." Amen. "But I thought maybe if I was to run, I'd feel like it." Amen. Oh, God, help us. Amen. When our church becomes dead, amen, and lifeless, we're going to die a spiritual death as a church. Amen. And God will not, come on here, God will not bless us. We need a church that's alive. Amen. If your corpse, come on here, if your spiritual corpse, amen, is so dead, they said you're dead. Amen. God help us to put it, amen, in the revival fire of Elisha. I'm an older man. I remember the Church of God. I remember the Nazarenes. Nazarenes used to shout. Did y'all know that? Methodists used to shout. Matter of fact, Assembly of God used to shout. Am I doing all right? Pentecostal Holiness used to shout. And they all lived right and separated life. But they all went that away. Amen. The first thing that happened to those great organizations is they lost the desire for revival. And when they lost their desire for revival, the world started appealing to them. I know. I told you I was going to preach a while this morning. Amen. Did you know you don't backslide in 24 hours? Hello. Me and my wife was talking. I believe it was yesterday. Was it yesterday? Day before. We was driving down the road. Amen. Must have been yesterday. And she said, is everything wrong? I'm losing y'all this morning. I know I am. I'm losing y'all. Is everything wrong that we can't enjoy some things? I said, when the heart is really not committed to Christ, the worldly things begin to look attractive to us. And one thing alone by itself may not, am I preaching all right this morning? May not be a sin in and of itself, but it's leaning. And it's leaning. And directly, amen, you got to take one more step to satisfy, amen, the desires of the carnal nature. Amen. And that, come on here, that next thing, amen, that's really not so bad either. Amen. But we're leaning. And the more we lean, amen, directly we're going to fall flat and die spiritually. Amen. And things in and of themselves may of themselves not be a sin, but you're leaning. And when you start leaning toward the world and the worldly pleasures, amen, it won't be long till we'll be a dead church. Amen. God help us, revive us. Amen. We've had great revivals in the bygone years. Amen. But don't let that be this, amen, the standard of today. God wants us to have revival now. Azusa Street. In the book of Acts. Oh God. Could you lift your hands and worship the Lord? Oh God. Oh God. I've said this several times in my ministry and even in this church, and I'm going to say this morning, I want you to listen. Most of our elderly saints are dead. I preach their funerals. They're in the cemetery. And really we have a relatively younger group of people that has come and gracing our pews, of which I am grateful for. And I want to be careful what I say here, but I want to say it right. Amen. Our young married couples, y'all listen to me. Our young married couples is probably the most important an influential group in our church, or any church, not just Massanova. And it is the young, boy, am I doing all right here this morning? Is the young married couples, amen, are the ones that will lean. Because one thing in and of itself is not a sin, but it's fun. Help me here this morning. It's enjoyable. It appeals to the carnal nature. Help me here. And at the same time, the young married couples, amen, ought to be and should be the most spiritual minded group of people in our church. Praise God. And when the young married couples,
Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. When our young married couples get fired up in their soul. Amen. The altar means more to them than a hamburger. And the altar means more to them, come on here, than the state of Florida. Amen. When the altar means more to us as young married people than anything in life itself. Amen. We want to fast. We want to pray. We want to seek the face of God. Amen. We start leaning spiritual and spiritual things, and revival will come to the church.
Oh, this is tight this morning. I understand. Young married couples, listen. You must, if you want this church to be a powerhouse for God and spiritually on fire, you must reach up with one hand and hold on to what your forefathers, your mamas and your daddies and your grandparents taught you and how they raised you. You must reach up with that and embrace it. Come on here. And reach down with the other hand. Your children and your grandchildren. And bring the two elements together. This is the way. Walk ye in it, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Praise God. Am I doing all right? I ain't through yet. Praise God. I'm running overtime, and I know it. Amen. But we've got to have a revival. It's more than just going to church. It's more than just singing Amazing Grace. It's more than singing I'll Fly Away to a Fast Song. That's got to be a burning passion and a burning desire inside. I need God. Yeah. Look at the last thought. Look at the corpse of the individual soul. Every Christian, every individual, you've had your past. You've had your sacred memories known only to you and God. And there were times, now I want to say this morning, if there was ever a time that you were more spiritual minded than you are now, you are backsliding. Every individual has got your memories of what you were and when you were there. Like nations and churches, individuals, amen, have your mountain peaks. And they also have their death valley days. Amen. Things of our time have replaced our spiritual fervor and burning desire. Amen. In a dying condition. Now, amen, it's being carried out. The corpse is being carried out to be buried. Amen. I see a lot of people that come to this church. Amen. They have no spiritual desire. They have no altar desire. Amen. And I've said this several times in the last little while. They come to the altar to pray, and while they're kneeling down, they're looking around to see who else is there. Amen. And if there's anybody looking, or they'll be yakking and talking while they're at the altar with somebody kneeling by them. Boy, that's good preaching. Amen. That's your death valley days. Amen. You need to realize that there's better times. Amen. The Holy Ghost has moved in your life. The Spirit has burned in your soul. You have had the fire of God and the Holy Ghost in your life, and you need to say, I'm coming out of the cemetery. And sometimes this dead corpse of your spiritual life comes in contact with some danger or some accident or some illness or some heartache.
some tragedy that has come. I could not name the number of times that my phone has rang. Some recently, people that don't go to church, that have been in church, and have prayed at these altars. Are y'all still with me? And they don't go to church now. Amen. But when there's tragedy comes, or some, are y'all still with me? Some accident happens, or some, amen, terrible thing, illness. Amen. Amen. I've got cancer. Amen. My husband or my wife has had a heart attack. Pray, Brother Savage. And we always do pray. Help me here. We always do pray. But I want to tell you, amen, it's good for the preacher to pray. But sometimes you have to pray yourself. And sometimes you have to get you on your knees. Amen. How long has it been since you prayed outside of the church building? Well, it's preaching. Some tragedy comes and leads us to seek God for those memories that we remember when times were spiritually better for us. The Moabites are in sight. Amen. The Moabites are coming. Come on here. Well, I know it's quiet. Been quiet in here this morning, but it's okay. I preached here before when it's quiet. Amen. The Moabites are coming. Worldliness is coming. Amen. Sin is on the rampage. Our nation is going the other way. Amen. The Moabites are in sight. Amen. What are you going to do? Amen. There's only one thing to do. Amen. Cast your spiritual soul in the tomb of Elisha. Praise God, who watched the past come to life and the Holy Ghost revive you again and say, oh God, I need the Spirit.
Amen. When the years of old, which have been forgotten, as if they had never been, when the thoughts that had once had priority in our life, and all of a sudden you hear somebody preach that, like that old gray-headed preacher y'all got preaching in your church building, he getting down to where I'm at and I don't like it. No, I understand. Your flesh does not like it. But until we have revival in our individual souls, the church will not have revival. And our nation will not have revival. Revival starts in the individual's life. Amen. Amen. Come on, Marcia. I'm going to close. On all that past of earlier years, which seemed to have been long forgotten, all of a sudden we realize what it was like when you laid flat on your back on this floor before this new carpet was installed, and hands in the air, and the Holy Ghost filled you with power from another world. Amen. Do you ever have that sensation? I'd like to feel that again. I'd like to. Somebody say amen. Amen. That awakening. Touch it. Those old dead bones of the prophet. Amen. The day's going to come. I'm going to be gone. Amen. But I want to tell you, when they lay out my body in front of this pulpit, amen, I want you to remember, that old gray-head preacher told it right. I didn't like it, and I didn't agree with it. Amen, and I wanted to squirm. Amen, but there's something inside that said, he's right. You don't want to admit it, but he's right. Amen, this church has got to have a revival. You as an individual has got to have a revival. Let's move out of the dead cemetery and become alive. God wants to do a fresh work of the Spirit, Massanova Pentecostal Church. God wants to do a fresh work of the Spirit in your individual life. But you must be willing to surrender all to the Lord. Last Sunday morning, I preached to you on unconditional surrender. Nothing short of that will bring a revival. Nothing. We can play church. We can sing all the songs out of the hymnal. Amen. We can play our music. But until revival comes in here, we will be just another building with some folks in it. And we need a revival. Oh, God. Everybody stand. Is anybody in this building this morning that you really want to have a revival? You really, more than anything else in this whole world, you want the Holy Ghost to breathe on you like it has in times past, but afresh and anew. Let's come to the altar. Amen. It's time to pray.